Acts chapter 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we've not even heard that there is Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues or languages and prophesied, and they were in all about 12 men. So you've got an example there of where people were baptized by John by dipping in water, and then it seems they were baptized again. So then you can then get re-baptized if you wish. And the important thing here was that they had not received the Holy Spirit. And that is the power of God to change us. And that's what we all want, to be changed. So it's a very personal thing as to whether you feel you need to be re-baptized. But some people do feel that need. And so you can just remember this example. And Paul entered into the synagogue and spoke boldly for about 3 months, persuading people about the things concerning the kingdom of God. So we don't just preach the gospel, but we actually try to persuade people to believe it. But when some became hard and bitter, speaking evil of the way before the crowd, Paul left them and separated the disciples, teaching every day in the school of Tyrannus. So if people blaspheme, if they start being really unreasonable, then you just walk away. As Jesus said, if they persecute you in one city, flee to another. Don't just enjoy arguing, because preaching is not about our sake of it. It's about trying to persuade people to accept the good news of God's kingdom. And so Paul did this for about 2 years, so that all those who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Gentiles. And God did special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or clothes that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and their mental illnesses were cured. Then some of the Jewish magicians tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus to cure people who had illnesses, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus whom Paul proclaims." And there were 7 sons of a Jewish man called Sceva, who called himself a chief priest, who did this. And the sick man said to them, "Jesus I recognize, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man who was sick jumped on them and overpowered all of them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Gentiles. Yeah, because this crazy man had ripped all their clothes off them. That's why. And the name of the Lord Jesus was made great. And many of those who had believed came and declared their sinful deeds. So accepting the gospel means recognizing that you have sinned, repenting. And many of those who had done magic brought their books about magic and burned them. And they counted the cost of them and found it about 50,000 pieces of silver. Well, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So 50,000 pieces of silver, this was a huge amount of money. So the word of the Lord grew in power. So then you see the difference between the word of the Lord Jesus and the word of men, the books of men. When they accepted the word of Jesus, then they threw away all these other philosophies and words and books of other men. So when these things were finished, Paul decided in his spirit to go up to Jerusalem after first going through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, "After I've been there, I must also see Rome." He sent into Macedonia 2 of those who helped him, Timothy and Erastus, while he stayed in Asia for a while. But about that time, there was a big fuss about the way. Now, that's what they were called, the Christians, the way. Christianity is the way to God and the way to eternal life, because Jesus is the way. There was a man called Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver idols of Diana. And he had a very good business, him and the other craftsmen. And he gathered them together with all the workmen involved in this, and they and said, you know that by our business we have our wealth. So you see, making idols was all about making money. They weren't sincere. And they, he goes on, he said, and you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but throughout most of Asia, this Paul is turning people away from us, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands, and they were using their hands to make these idols. So there's a danger that our business will be finished, and also the temple of the great goddess Diana will be made of no account, and that she whom all Asia and the world worships should lose her magnificence. When they heard this, they were filled with anger and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians! And the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one mind into the theatre, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples wouldn't let him, and some also of the Asiarchs, that's the people who were in power there, being his friends, sent a message to him, begging him not to risk himself by going into the theatre. So some cried one thing and some another. The whole crowd was confused, and most didn't know why they'd come together. The majority didn't know. So you see, that's the problem with democracy, as is said, with saying that, oh, the will of the majority should be done. Well, the Bible keeps presenting to us that the majority are usually wrong. And like in this case, they don't really know what they're doing. So they brought Alexander out of the crowd, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made defense to the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all, for about 2 hours, started screaming, great is Diana of the Ephesians! When the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there who doesn't know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? How crazy that they believed that a little image had fallen all the way from the planet Jupiter all the way down to the earth and had landed in Ephesus. So he said, seeing these things cannot be denied, well, of course, they could be denied, but he's trying to get on their right side. He says, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash, for you've brought here these men, the Christians, who are not robbers of temples nor blasphemers of our goddess. So if Demetrius and the craftsmen that are with him have a matter against anyone, the courts are open. Let them accuse each other. But if you seek anything about other matters, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. For we're really in danger of being charged with rioting today, because there's no reason that we can give to justify all this commotion. And when he'd said this, he dismissed the assembly. So you see how people claim to be very religious, but actually they've got other motives and agendas. Like here, these men were worshipping Diana because they were making money out of making the little mini idols out of silver for her. So there was big business involved. And so the simple desire of God that people should believe in him and in his son is so different to that, where individuals say yes to him, quite regardless of business and big religion and all this kind of thing.